Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
For me, I have all the faith in the world in UPL and Devin Levi. I believe in my core that both of them are going to be excellent National Hockey League goaltenders. I think we need to play better in front of them, defend better, and that'll help our goaltending. We're open, you know, from Devin, and what I've, you know, and this is not something new to him, you know, he and I have had this conversation within the last few weeks that I believe in him. Timeline's up to him. He's a young goaltender still. He's got, some more experience under his belt that when he's ready to take the step, he will, and we'll be ready for that. Do I have a problem if those are our two goalies opening night? Absolutely not. But I'm also going to make sure that we're smart how we do things and put our team in the best position.
I am a Devin Levi truther, I have to tell you. I think that's the right term, right? Is that what the kids say when you really believe in something? You're a truther? Josh, is that how it goes? I believe in Devin Levi. I think he's going to be very good in this league.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to use that term in this, like, setting, scenario, whatever you want to call it. Because, like, you know, you still believe in Devin Levi. You still think that, like, what everyone says about him is the truth. So I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what a truther is. I think, either way, I am a Devin Levi truther, if that's the case. If that's the way you say it. And I say that because I think he's going to be really good. But I also am not naive enough to think that, like, it doesn't have to happen this year. I jumped the gun last year. I thought maybe he was ready for a little bit more of a role in the NHL, but I totally get why they did what they did. And, you know, yes, I get it. Goalies take a little longer. He just seemed a little different to me. You know, as Paul says often when he's on, arguably the greatest college goaltender ever. That doesn't have to mean anything, but I think that just, you know, he's played at a high level. He's played in the pros now, done well in the AHL. I know it's been a little uneven in the NHL. He's had some good moments. He's had some rough moments. I don't, this is a tough spot because I don't want to block a path for Devin Levi to be the starting goaltender and main guy for the Sabres. At the same time, I don't know if he's necessarily ready for that right now. So, and I'm just thinking most of you would say he's not ready for that right now, right? I want it to happen. The best thing, if I could, like, kind of maybe have one big wish for the Sabres that is possible, I guess. Like, one big wish, I think, okay, what is actually realistically possible? Maybe not likely, but possible. My wish might be that Devin Levi just becomes a really good goaltender this year. And we're like, okay, we are set. It is not unlike an NFL quarterback that you draft in late first round, early second round, let's say. Late first round, second, third quarterback off the board, and you're like, this guy, if he can hit right away, oh my God, we are set. And there he is, right? And I think that, like, kind of way I feel about Devin Levi. I think if I could have one kind of big wish for the Sabres that is possible, even if unlikely, for 25-26, it's, I think, for me to, because everything else then falls into place. Because not only do I get good goaltending on a team that should be able to score goals, it did score goals last year. Except in the power play. If I get that, I'm probably making the playoffs. And you know what else I get? Oh my God, a young goaltender who looks really good for a long time. And now I don't have to worry about that and think about that because we're talking about it so much. 803-0550 is the number to call. Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joe, is going to join me at 11:30 or so here from Lockport Country Club. Lockport Town and Country Club. We're going to play out here today. So thank them very much for giving us the space and giving me the space to host the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show out here today and then get out and play some golf a little bit later. So Joe's going to come up, and I said, Joe, come on in. You know, come on up and sit with me for a little while. Just so you know, Joe, if you're on your way up, I have one microphone here. I'm going to kind of do like interview style back and forth, but that's okay. But I'm going to ask Joe questions. That gives him more time to talk. I'll ask Joe the questions instead of Joe asking me the questions when I go on with Jeremy and Joe in the morning. And good morning to you. here on a Wednesday. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are getting connected with our fans when you call me at 803-0550. It is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. So J.J. Peterka, been a lot of talk about him. We've talked about him a lot today. Kevin Adams addressed the situation. I think we have kind of less clarity coming out of it than we did going in. Fine. He has to play the GM part and say what he's got to say and not say what he can't say. But all this stuff about him requesting a trade, wanting a trade, I mean, okay, let's just say he did. Let's just say he does. There's a lot of me that says, I don't care. You're J.J. Peterka, and I don't mean to say that in a demeaning, disparaging way. But you're 23 years old, and you've been in the NHL for 3 years. Yes, I know he played two games his rookie year. I'm looking at it right now. He's 23 years old. He's played in the NHL for 3 years. He's done well. 68 points last year, 28 goals 2 years ago, 27 last year. Nice. You're J.J. Peterka. You're just getting out of your entry-level deal, essentially. Like, you give it, if you, to me, this is not the kind of player in at that status, in this situation, who should be making this kind of demand. If it is a demand, we don't know that. I'm playing out a scenario here. Or request, even. And if Kevin Adams gives into that, I think he sets a tough precedent. I think he sets a precedent he shouldn't be setting for that type of player. Jack Eichel was different. Jack Eichel was only a year and a year and a half older, right? He was 24, 25, I was looking up. But he's in the league 7 years, former second overall pick, who was the face of the franchise, and they revolved everything around him, and they had a big falling out. This is not Jack Eichel. This is a second-round pick who developed in your system, who's come in and done well, who's played for 3 years, and is still only 23 years old. I'm not about giving this guy and this player in this situation giving in to that sort of demand. I think that really looks bad on the organization to do that. Now, if the Sabres do internally really believe this is a player that we don't think is going to be the highest level possible player we thought he was. Like, I'll use Matt Savoy in this instance, right? I mean, Matt Savoy never really played in the NHL for the Sabres. Matt Savoy, a very, very talented offensive player. But the question really was, could he be good enough in his own end? Is he ever going to really be a good enough two-way player to adhere to the responsibilities he needs to adhere to not hurt your team? And I think the ultimate answer for the Sabres was no. Yuri Kulik, they felt, could be. I had a conversation with someone about before they traded Savoy a couple of years ago that told me this and said, yeah, basically somebody connected to the organization said to me, yeah, I think the feeling is Kulik could be more of a better two-way player and probably has a quicker path to the NHL because of that. And I think that's happened, right? Look where Yuri Kulik is. And he's becoming more of a, and he's improved that part of his game and he understands it. So Savoy, at the end of the day, the Sabres say, we don't think he's going to be that player eventually. Maybe he does, but we're not sure. So you know what? We're okay with trading him and getting a guy that's going to help us now in Ryan McLeod. And that was actually not a bad trade. And maybe Matt Savoy becomes a great player and we're all rueing the day that they traded Matt Savoy. So J.J. Peterka, if the Sabres do say in their heart of hearts, hey, we just don't feel this player is ever going to be a $7, $8 million player if we have to pay him that. So let's move on now to get something for him in return. Totally understandable. Those are decisions you have to make. Those are hockey decisions you have to make. But if Kevin Adams wants to keep J.J. Peterka in Buffalo, but J.J. Peterka and his agent and whoever on his side say, no, 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 we don't want to play for you. We want to be traded. If I'm Kevin Adams, my answer is I don't care. This is not, you can say all you want, and I respect the fact and the notion that you want players who want to be here. That means something to me. That speaks to me. I am a Buffalo guy. I know what we in Buffalo you know, we deal with from the outside and people talking about us and it's us versus them, right? I get all that. And you want people to be a part of you. We want to be loved here. I totally understand that. And I get it. It makes sense. And if you don't want to be here, then you know what? We only want guys who want to be here. Well, guess what? Some guys are going to tell you then, I don't want to be here because they just want to go somewhere else. And because you're not winning or for whatever reason, and you're making it easier on them to have control over the situation where you should have control of that situation as the person who runs the team to make your team better. You know, I don't want the Sabres to be in the regard of like this ruthless team, how like Vegas is said to be. Like Vegas is kind of a ruthless team. They don't care. You're just a number. But they also win, right? I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights, they win and they make moves and say, we don't care. Like, we run the ship here, not you. And we're going to do it. It's a tough needle to thread sometimes. I think the Bills have done a pretty good job with it. Having Josh Allen really helps, though, because they have Josh Allen. People want to play for them. They want to sign for them. They want to stay in Buffalo. They re-sign their own players because guys don't want to leave. They have a chance to win. They have Josh Allen. More than anything, they have a chance to win. And that's because of Josh Allen in a lot of ways. I think it's a really tough precedent to set. And a bad one. If they trade J.J. Paterka because J.J. Paterka says, I want to be traded, not because they want to trade him and think it's the best thing for the organization, all you're doing is making it way easier for the next guy to do the exact same thing as him. That is not a way to operate a team. At some point, you say, look, I was trying actually in the break to come up with a good, like, a comparable, a good example of, I think in a lot of ways, it's like parenting, right? Like, your kids want something, and they come to you, and they're really kind of, I want this, and you want to do what's right by them in a lot of ways, but you are the person who's in charge that has to do what's right for all of you and your family. And you're the person who can make that decision. Not them. Now, he could say, if you don't trade me, I'm not going to sign. You can qualify me. You can put all the offers you want in front of me. I'm not signing. Okay. Well, he's going to sit out. He's going to lose a lot of money. I mean, it just gets uglier for him. I asked Paul earlier, who has the leverage in this situation? I think Paul kind of like indicated he thinks, you know, it's really the Sabres. And I think that's right because of, you know, that. If he was to not sign, he'd have to sit out. Like, he's losing a lot of money there, whereas he could make millions of dollars here on a contract with the Buffalo Sabres. It just doesn't sit well with me. If it is the fact that you have a 23-year-old player who's been in this league for 3 years, who is demanding, requesting a trade, and look, that's fine. Like, maybe he's a point of his life. Like, I want something new. I want to be in a bigger city. I want to win. Great. I respect all that. Like, I respect the thought of that, right? Like, I want to win. That's cool. And there's things he needs to have better body language people talk about and, you know, be a little bit more of a leader and grow up on the ice. And from that standpoint, things like that. Those things happen when you're younger and you're, going through understanding how to be a professional in all walks of life. I always remember what Darcy Regier said. And I think this is right about Darcy. At some point, players have to understand that, like, they have to take ownership of their career. Right? And you might want something, you kick and scream about it. That's not ownership. Ownership is doing everything you can to be what the Bills would say is the best version of yourself and the best player you can be and the best teammate you can be. And from there, things fall into place. And if things don't work out, yeah, there's a time and place where maybe you're going to have to move on and go to another team because the organization feels it's best. You can't come to an agreement with the team, whatever it is. I don't think we're here with J.J. Paterka, and I think we're way, way before we should be there with J.J. Paterka. And I think if Kevin Adams trades him simply because he says, you need to trade me, I'm not signing, I'm demanding a trade, I think that's a bad look and a bad precedent, and they shouldn't do it. If Kevin Adams feels, though, that trading J.J. Paterka is what's best for this organization because he'll never kind of be quite the player that they thought he'd be and make the kind of money they're going to have to pay him, then he's got to make a hockey deal. And that's the way it would be spun, right? He said, one of his interesting quotes was, I'm going to read you this quote from Kevin Adams here about J.J. Paterka. And, you know, I know that you can maybe interpret this as maybe not being about him. Let me just pull this up here because this was really interesting. He said something about the fact. Oh, wait, here we go. Okay, here we go. I don't want to say yes or no. Okay, I don't want to say yes or no because I don't think it's the right time. I can probably, after the draft, get into more specifics. Okay, when he says I can get into more specifics after the draft, what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to trade him and then tell us all why he traded him after the draft? Does that mean after the draft, they're going to sign him to an extension right around draft weekend? And then, hey, all this stuff was just rumors. What does that part mean? That's interesting to me. When he was asked if he was asked for a trade, I don't want to say yes or no because I don't think that's the right time. I can probably, after the draft, get into more specifics, but I just don't think it's fair to the player to even respond to that. And that part of it is fine. But what does it mean, after the draft, I'll give you more specifics? Interesting, right? We'll see what happens. I come from a, as you know, football reporting background. I'm very much in tune with how the salary cap works in the NFL. We just had a conversation a little while ago about how offer sheets work in the NHL when it comes to calculating salary cap, calculating compensation. I'm always confused about the NBA. I have to be super honest with you. And I saw that the Celtics have now traded Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. And I'm like, oh, they're also going to be, you know, unfortunately, without Jason Tatum probably all next year. They must be rebuilding. But then I read and I'm like, well, it's not really rebuilding. They still want to win because think about, okay, he's going to be out, but so is Tyrese Halliburton. Damian Lillard's going to be out. Like a lot of these guys, like the East is changing a little bit, but there's still some opportunity for a really good team in the Celtics. But they have traded a couple guys. Then I see an article that I read that says Jaylen Brown could be the next Celtics trade. Not only him, but who's the other one? Derek White. My understanding is this. Here's quote. My understanding is the Celtics are getting offers, calls on both Jaylen Brown and Derek White. Shams Charania says on SportsCenter. Okay, here's what I'm getting at. This is, a lot of this is salary cap stuff. And I didn't know, Josh, do you know what the first apron and second apron and all that means in the NBA?
No, I honestly, like, NBA trades confuse me so much because they're such big trades and they always happen.
No, not even trades, just trade deadline. Like, I mean, just salary cap. I mean, when you hear salary cap NBA, there is a salary cap apron. Then there's a first apron and a second apron. Did you know this?
No, I had no idea.
See, I mean, right. And some of you out there are going, how do you guys not know that? Like, I know there's a luxury tax in the NBA. I know that, like, if you spend over the salary cap, then you have to pay and do what they call luxury tax. That's what Major League Baseball does. The NFL is different. It's a hard cap. You just can't spend over a certain amount. The NHL is different. It's a hard cap. Now, it's calculated different in both sports. That's not what they have in Major League Baseball and the NBA. They have what they call luxury tax. So in these sports, there's a salary cap. You can spend over it, but everything that you spend over it, you have to pay additional taxes onto it that get kind of dispersed throughout the rest of the league. So, Josh, what happens in the NBA is not only a luxury tax, but a first apron and a second apron. Let me explain what it means. So a luxury tax is a penalty for teams exceeding the salary cap. I'm reading from AI, by the way, but it's true. So I want to make it easier. With increasing penalties for higher overspending, there's a what they call first apron. That is a limit that sits above the tax threshold. Teams exceeding the first apron face additional restrictions on using certain exceptions and making trades. Then there's a second apron, believe it or not, a higher limit exceeding which triggers even more severe restrictions on trades, free agency, and draft picks. If you are above the salary cap, you pay a luxury tax. You pay extra money on all the salaries that you pay. If you go above that, you go above into the first apron, Josh, you cannot use the taxpayer mid-level exception, can't send cash in trades, and face potential future draft pick penalties. If you go above the second apron, you can't use any mid-level exceptions, can't sign and trade players, can't trade first-round picks 7 years in the future. That's crazy. And face additional trade restrictions, including limitations on aggregating contracts and using trade exceptions. This is super confusing.
So it's basically like multiple levels to a luxury tax. Like it's like
yes,
you can go over the luxury tax, but then if you go over this part of the luxury tax, you're going to get more penalized. Like
yes.
I don't know why leagues just don't do like hard caps. Hard caps make so much more sense.
I know.
It's like this is what you can go to. If you go over it, you're going to get penalized. If you don't go over it, you're great. Like it's that easy. You know, like I guess I get it. Like with, at least with baseball, it's just one level, right? Like if you go over this, you're taxed. But like this is such mm-hmm. an extra, like it's bringing in the luxury tax and the hard cap together. Because if you go over a cap, if you go over the cap in the NHL, I think it's there's certain levels of penalization, I think, with that as well. But it's you pay it back and you also get docked certain picks and things like that. Like
NFL, you can never operate over the salary cap.
Right.
Like they won't process a transaction if it puts you over the salary cap. You know what I mean? Like you can't do that. I'll read you part of this article. Here's a article I found in the New York Post, and I just picked an article that I found talking about both Jaylen Brown and Derek White and the trades of Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, which got me into this. It says, Boston is playing the delicate game of trying to reconfigure its roster and get below the second apron while still maintaining a championship window. Moving Porzingis and trading Holiday to the Blazers already helped the Celtics get under the second apron in the new very complicated salary cap rules. Yes. So, apparently they were already over the second apron. So, it's basically three luxury taxes. Level one, level two, level three. They went over the first one. They went over the second one, which is the first apron. Now, they're over the third one, which is the second apron. After that, so they made these trades. They're now under the second apron, but still above the first. They're looking to get below the first apron and stay above the luxury tax. It is totally wild and complicated. That's what the Celtics are doing.
I was just reading about the NHL. If you go over the cap, you can't make certain transactions such as signing new players or making trades. Or if you have signed a player to a new contract that'll kick in next year, you can't give that player the raise because if you're already over the cap, you can't go more over the cap. So you go basically, like, it doesn't void the contract, but it's like, hey, you have to pay this guy. You got to figure out how you're going to do that. And then if it gets to the point of playing games, you would potentially have to pull players out of your lineup to make yourself cap compliant. And if you get below a certain amount of players, then you just got to forfeit the game. Like,
oh
that
God.
To me, I feel like is more of a penalty than what some of these other leagues do. It's like, hey, you might actually just like lose.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Games and not play games if you go over the cap. Like that to me makes much
wild.
More sense.
I mean, it's crazy how these leagues, like, and I get it, it's all collectively bargained anyway. I mean, like, you know, the NFLPA has a say in this and how all this goes, or the NBA Players Association and all that, no doubt about it. Seriously, it was just very confusing. I'm like, oh, Celtics must be totally rebuilding if they traded Holiday and Porzingis. And then I see an article, oh, they might trade Jaylen Brown and Derek White. Oh, my God, what are they doing? They're tanking? Oh, no, they're just trying to get under the second apron. What the hell is the second apron? I mean, it's crazy, man. So, yeah, that's what I learned today. And about the NHL AAV for offer sheets, which is also pretty wild. Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joey's in the house here as we are about to play Lockport Country Club later this afternoon. So he's joined me for a little while. I get a chance to ask him questions about the Buffalo Sabres. We'll do that after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I can probably, after the draft, get into more specifics on things, but I just don't think it's fair to the player, to be honest with you, to really even respond to that. I think it's just better to keep it to the fact that we have a plan, we're working towards helping our team get better, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get better, and I get memos on my desk every morning from PR of things, and I feel, if I'm being honest, like, I feel bad for our fans. The stuff that's out there, there's so much misinformation, so much of it's nonsense. I mean, someone that has no idea what they're talking about reporting that we were going to buy Sammy out. We've never had that conversation once. Like, it's ridiculous. So I don't even think it's worth me really getting into it. And I guess I'd just leave it at that.
That is Sabres General Manager Kevin Adams. He spoke yesterday. You can find all of that on demand at WGR550.com. Also, Paul Hamilton wrote about it at WGR550.com. And right now, we have Sneaky Joe DiBiase, who's made his way up here to Lockport. We're going to play Lockport Country Club a little bit later, and Joe just told me he's never played here. I played here several times. Challenging course. You're looking out at the course right now. What do you think?
It looks beautiful. It looks challenging also. We got lucky, I think, too, because it is downpouring or was downpouring in and around the station, and I think we might have avoided it here. But, yeah, the course looks absolutely beautiful. A lot of challenging shots, it looks like.
Joe and I also wear very similar shirts, so we're gonna. I didn't know you were gonna wear the white shirt, but I got mine. What do I got on mine? Like flamingos. You got flowers. I think we're okay. I think we're looking very similar today. Yeah. All right. So Sabres yesterday. Let's reverse roles. I said I go on your show in the morning, and here you're with me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And by the way, reuniting, right? I mean, we used to do this show together for several years. Okay. I just said, I don't know if you heard it on the way up, I don't think that J.J. Paterka is the type of player who should be in a position of making demands on a Buffalo Sabres. He's 23 years old. He's been playing for 3 years. And if Kevin Adams trades him because of that, to me, Joe, that's a tough look on him. And I think it's a bad precedent to send. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same. That I actually have no ill will towards Paterka or feel like there's any criticism of him for exploring the idea of a trade if that's what he wants. But if I'm Kevin Adams, I think I have to take that and say, okay, that's fine, you want out. I'm sure there are other guys that haven't told me directly that want out that are on this team too, but you're 23 years old and I still have 4 years of contract control. Like, I'm not, if I'm not going to get a price that's going to help me win right now from another team, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to trade you. You can go sign an offer sheet, but we're going to match it. And that's kind of the risk right now, or really, I think, the dilemma, if that's what the Sabres approach is. Because let's say that is what it is. Adam says, I'm going to play hardball here, and I'm not just going to cave in and trade the guy away because he asks. It's going to be, all right, here's a 2-year contract. $8 million per even. We'll, you know what? We'll juice it up a little bit with the money to make you happy, as happy as we can here. Now, I'm going to put the ball in your camp. Do you want to sign that deal, and then in 2 years, a little further down the line, you have more leverage, you're closer to UFA status, then maybe you can get out if you want, if you still want to, or if we haven't figured it out. Or how ugly you want to make this? Put the ball in his camp to say, all right, go hold out. Don't sign a contract. That's happened in the league. Willie Nylander held out into a season for Toronto, I think a month into the year before he ended up signing. Jonathan Drouin, go look up the letter Jonathan Drouin wrote to the Tampa Bay Lightning when he was a young player in the league. I think he wrote in his letter that he would never play for the organization again. And guess what? After like a month, he was back playing for the team again. So I kind of would want to call his bluff right now. Understand why he might want out, but to me, unless you are getting something that you know is going to help you right now, I'm not. If I'm Adams, I'm not trading him just to trade him.
And Joe, that I don't know if they can. Like, to me, what hockey trade can Kevin Adams make right now that makes them better? What he can do is trade JJ in one deal and then make another deal where you come in over top of him. Right. I don't see the Sabres getting back the better player in the deal, whether it's a forward or a defenseman, by trading JJ Paterka.
pretty much. I mean, it's not impossible that a deal like that could be out there. I was looking around at certain players that might be available. You know, that there are trade stories about right now on other teams, whether that's there's a defenseman in Calgary that would fit what the Sabres need. The Bruins might look to trade away their goalie, Jeremy Swayman, because of their relationship, and he has trade protection that doesn't kick in for one more week. So there are ideas around the league, but you need that team to be interested in Peterka. And you need to agree that, okay, we're going to do a hockey trade. And not everybody wants to do a hockey trade. I think Adams, actually, to his credit, has found two in 2.5 years with the Byram trade and then with Norris and Cousins. So I don't want to say it's not out there, but mostly I'm with you that any trade that you make or most calls I bet you're getting about Peterka, Are you sure you don't want to do it for, like, the 11th pick in the draft and this our third best prospect? Like, I would imagine most teams are acquiring Peterka to help them win right now, and those teams are probably not giving you a lot back. So, to me, I know it sounds ugly right now and that Peterka might want out, but I still feel like I'd want the Sabres to push for him being on the team on opening night.
And then there's the opposite side, which is Alex Tuch, right? I mean, a player that he came out yesterday, Kevin Adams, that is, and said, Alex Tuch knows he's a priority. He wants to be a Buffalo Sabre. We didn't get that answer about J.J. Peterka, which I thought was interesting. By the way, how about the quote of, I can get into more specifics after the draft. What does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm glad you brought that up. I did not catch that when he said that yesterday. There was a good find by you, I heard, on the way in, because I hadn't heard it that way until you pointed that out. That really could be something. That could be Adams, maybe even not intentionally, kind of letting you into, he might have a couple of offers that he thinks are close. Like, maybe there's a team where he just wants a little bit more that maybe are on the goal line. That's definitely guessing at that. But that is interesting that he would put it that way, because if he's not traded, what changes in a week? Other than maybe, I mean, the offer sheet deadline, right? Like, you're closer to that, but I don't think that would really change anything. Like, the only thing that would be different between now and then about why you would be more open and honest about it, I think would be that he's off the roster.
Or what if they sign him to an extension?
Or that. Does anything really make it sound like that's on the doorstep, though? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Joe DiBiase here, Sneaky Joe on WGR, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and now Alex Tuch. So Alex Tuch, obviously a player who, you know, grew up a Sabres fan. We know that. We know the backstory. But it seems like that seems to be going in a much different direction, and Adams kind of made it clear. So I'd be kind of surprised if anything other than Alex Tuch not only being on the roster, but being on the roster maybe even with more years on his contract.
Yeah, pretty much. I think extension is, it sounds, it's sounding optimistic, right? He clearly showed yesterday with the Peterka comment versus the Tuch comment that if he didn't think the guy was long for Buffalo, you'd get that implication. You heard that. He did not sound that way about Peterka. He did sound much more like that when it comes to Tuch. So I think the worries about him not being here have been squashed. And I think that's Peterka wanting out is one thing. Tuch, there was just a deeper level of significance if he was going to say, yeah, I'm good. And he hasn't signed yet, so, you know, this still could happen. But there's another layer with him, which is what you just mentioned, that he grew up a Sabre fan, and the GM is still talking about, yesterday he did it again, bleeding blue and gold and, you know, wanting badly to be a Buffalo Sabre and players that want to be here. That sentiment has continued to exist, so the face of that is Tuch. Right, like the face of that is the guy that loved the team growing up, that loved Lindy, that we'll talk about the 06 Sabres. If that guy at some point were to hit the ejector seat, then it just feels like the whole thing could come crashing down, at least for Adams on that front. Whereas now, at least I think you have one guy where you know that about. Like, there was a desire for him to be here. Because remember, Tuch still has never signed a contract with the Buffalo Sabres. As much as he's the face of players that want to be here, he got traded here on a deal that he had already signed with Vegas. So this would really be the first opportunity for him to do that.
He also, growing up a Sabres fan, wears number 89. Alexander Mogilny. Did you ever watch Mogilny? Did any part of his career?
I did, but I honestly remember him more for the Leafs.
Okay.
which, you know, obviously very different than anyone that would have grown up watching him in the early 90s. The
same. What do you remember about, you know, so, okay, comparable maybe here. Like, I didn't watch OJ play, but I remember people telling me, oh, my God, OJ Simpson, how great he was, right? What do you remember about people telling you about Alexander McGillney?
Honestly, a lot of it is my dad, because he is a huge fan in the early 90s, obviously, and that's pretty fresh still. It's within 10 years from when I start watching, especially the 92-93 team, right, with all the stats and LaFontaine putting up 148 points and McGillney's 76 goals. So, really, that is – I've heard more stories about that McGillney-LaFontaine team than I would have about the French Connection teams. So, it mostly is just the dude was – lightning fast and could score a million goals. And honestly, for me, a lot of it for him is not just the highlights and for the stats, because you know me, I still have a tough time watching hockey from that era with the goaltending. It still blows my mind, but whatever, they're still impressive. For him, there was a documentary like 10 years ago that Sportsnet did called Defector, about the story of him coming over here, and Jerry Meehan is in that and talks about, like, the stories about them drive, it's Jerry Meehan and there's somebody else from the Sabres and McGillney in the back of a car, and they're waiting for their flight out of Stockholm, but they have to kill 2 hours, and they're driving the whole time because they think the KGB is following them. Like, it's like a spy movie, basically. And the fact that, like, again, Sportsnet did a documentary about that 10 years ago. Where's ESPN on that? All the 30 for 30s that have been made, or all these sports documentaries that Netflix is putting out. Somebody should do a story on that, because it still kind of blows my mind, the idea that they snuck him out of Europe to get him to come here in the first place.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I agree with you. Well, he is going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool. Finally, Alexander McGillney getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, I think. You'd think it was overdue. Do you have a player in any sport that you think? I think Steve Tasker's the easy one for Bills fans, right? So even eliminating him, this should be in the Hall of Fame. I have Ricky Waters as number one. And we've talked, I don't know if you don't remember Ricky Waters playing, but when he retired, it was like him, Thurman, Marcus Allen, and Walter Payton as like the greatest like dual threats or overall backs ever.
You know, McGillney would have been the guy for me. I might have to find a new one. I mean, really, maybe I should spend less attention on arguing with people why Eli shouldn't go into the Ooh. Hall of Fame than find somebody that I think should be in the Hall of Fame. Because really, like, who is that other? Ricky Waters is a good one. You hear him a lot. Hockey, you know what it is? The Hockey Hall of Fame and the Basketball Hall of Fame, it just kind of feels like everybody gets in now. Yeah. So, for those sports, maybe it's a little bit harder. For football, you know what this is going to be for me? It hasn't happened yet, but this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Will be my version of Ricky Waters. This generation or the last generation of running backs, who's going to get in? Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles is the all-time leader in yards per carry, but does he have enough stats? Like, I wonder if there's going to be a running back or two that was awesome and great that gets left out kind of the same way that Waters did.
All right, last thing for you before I let you go. Another minute or so here with Joe DiBiase on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Goaltending. I'm a Devin Levi truther. I do think he's going to be very good in the league. I also understand that it's a little bit too much maybe to ask for right now. If I could have one wish that's realistic for the Sabres, I love what you said today about the drought ends by a goalie getting really hot. If I could have one wish for this team that's realistic, maybe not likely, it's Devin Levi becomes really good next year. Is that possible, and what do you think about them going forward?
I think it's possible. It's more. I think it's becoming more and more clear, though, that it's a little bit of a crapshoot of not only if he will be good, because I'm with you. I still think the raw talent is there, that this guy's going to be a really good goalie in the NHL. But it's so tough to predict when the guy is actually going to arrive. Ryan Miller, he's 25 years old. I think all markets may be the same age. And those are both Vezina winners that this team drafted. There's not a lot of sample of guys that arrive when they're 21, 22 years old. That was a lot of my point in the last couple of years is, not that he can't do it, but there's not a lot of history that tells you, like, you got to be special to be able to arrive that early. But now he's at an age where he's kind of, you know, 2 years in the AHL. This is about when the really talented guys start showing up. So I think it could happen. I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in it, though, because it could be one more year. It could be two more years. Like, honestly, that wouldn't be that bad a result. 2 years and the guy at 25 years old, 24 years old, I mentioned there's other examples of that, becomes a stud, becomes like a top 10 starting goalie in the league. But what do I do in the meantime? Because my confidence in Luukkonen at this point is pretty low. He could do it. But again, it's could do it, could arrive early. Like, there's too much ifs, ands, and like, I think the best outcome is this team does a hockey trade with Luukkonen. Same thing you did with Cousins. Same thing you did with Mittelstadt. I'd like it to be at the same position. And I've been looking to see like what goalies might be available. I mentioned Swayman earlier for Boston, but I think that's a bigger deal than just Luukkonen. Jake Allen's a free agent, and that's kind of it. Like, the tough part might be that idea of flip Luukkonen, maybe pair him with something else in a hockey deal and get a more stable number one goalie to pair with Levi while Levi continues to grow. Someone write me in a name or something, because it looks like it might be tough sledding out there in the goalie market.
Joe, thanks for doing this, buddy. Thanks for coming aboard. We're going to play golf in a little while. Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joe, we're getting ready to play some golf. And in the meantime, we're going to come back here and wrap things up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, want to thank Lockport Country Club for having us out here today. Beautiful space. About to go and probably get pretty much eaten alive by this course. Thanks a lot to Joe DiBiase for joining me on location out here. Paul Hamilton as well. Sabres live up next. One Bills live. Show up on the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.